Welcome to In the Know with Dr. O. We are recording in the Esports Innovation Lab within the University of Cincinnati 1819 Innovation Hub. I'm David O., Chief Medical Officer of Hoxworth Blood Center. Hoxworth is the blood and blood services provider for all hospitals in Cincinnati and the surrounding tri-state area. We're very fortunate to have joining us today Valerie Miller. She's a member of the Hoxworth Community Advisory Board. We'll talk a little bit about what that does and what that means. She is a graduate of the University of Cincinnati. Go Bearcats.
Absolutely.
And has spent much of her career in her hometown working in media and corporate communications. She's also a loyal blood donor and now is a champion of the Hoxworth mission to encourage blood donations. So all of our guests are superheroes in one sense or another in terms of in the world of blood donation. And so we always need to know your origin story. So can you tell us a little bit about where you've come from? And we'll go back to even where you were born and raised.
Sure. So my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much. It's really an honor to serve on the Community Advisory Board. And I just believe so strongly in the Hoxworth mission and all that you try to do and accomplish for the community here. So just any chance that I have to talk about Hoxworth and to encourage others to become donors, I certainly want to take full advantage of that. So just my backstory is born and raised here in Cincinnati.
Oh, you're native? Mm-hmm. That's great.
I'm the odd one in my family in that the rest of my family is all from Cleveland.
Oh.
So when my dad was a professor here at the University of Cincinnati.
Okay.
He taught music education for a very long time. And so.
Was he in CCM?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually on their board of. A community board.
Oh, wonderful. There
too. Yeah, like you're on the community board here.
Yes, I
That's
know.
That's great. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love CCM.
Mm-hmm. And so that brought him down here from other parts, but both of my sisters, I have two sisters who were born in Cleveland, and so I'm the one who was not, and so sometimes during the football season, Browns, Bengals, you know, we have a little bit of rivalry going on there. But yeah, born and raised here, as I've heard you ask on other podcasts, of what high school you went to.
Because yes,
that's such a strong
thing, right?
Cincinnati tradition. You got to know what high school. So graduate of Mount Healthy High School.
Okay.
Go Fighting Owls. And so then I came here to the University of Cincinnati. Okay. And graduated from electronic media.
Oh, interesting.
In CCM,
wow.
Which is still a part of the program there at CCM.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be a sports journalist.
Oh,
was
yeah.
What my interest was. And so I went into local media. I worked at WCPO here in town. Then I moved to Indianapolis for a couple of years, worked at a television station there, then came back.
So what did you do at WCPO?
I kind of jack of all trades. I started off running the cameras in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
So people locally here remember Clyde and Carol.
Yeah, Clyde,
and
yeah.
That great duo. And so I'd be in the studio doing the camera, doing teleprompter, oh, doing what they used to call Chiron, you know, which was the graphics that you would see on the screen.
Gosh.
And but my interest was in the newsroom. I wanted to be a journalist.
Oh.
And and as I said, kind of initially a sports journalist.
Yes.
So it took me there. And that's kind of where I met Catherine Nero, who
yes.
is also
oh,
another
yes.
former community advisory board member.
Yes.
And she is the one who nominated me to okay. be on the board. And so that small connection there that we made when I was a sports producer for her when she first came to town. And then eventually I got into news and did producing and reporting. And so that was a wonderful experience. But then I got to the point of wanting to have kids and have a family and working in media, not necessarily the easiest thing to do with
yes.
kids. And so I got into school PR. I went the route of public relations, which gotcha. A lot of media people do. And I worked for the Milford School District doing
oh, wow.
public and community relations.
Fabulous.
Did that for a long time as my kids were growing up. And then made my way back to television again, back to WCPO.
Okay.
Spent a year there before going to the parent company, the E.W. Scripps Company.
Okay.
I worked in corporate communications there and then eventually the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Oh, my gosh.
And so been a really wonderful experience working in media, right. Different brands, serving, doing media relations, doing communications. And now I work for a technology company doing internal communications
oh, wow.
about IT.
Wow.
So kind of interesting where my career path has wandered over time, but it's been a thrilling and wonderful career. And
so it sounds like in the different roles, you've done everything. Like, you just kind of pitch in wherever. Were you in front of the camera as well?
Yeah, I did. I did on-air reporting.
Yeah. I'm sure I've seen your reports before.
I used to work in the early morning shift, so I
no, no, I wouldn't have watched that.
That's right, exactly.
That's excellent. Yeah. So now with your current position, tell us a little bit about that. So internal communications. Mm-hmm. So. Just to kind of explain, I think I'm not sure what you do.
So I work for a global technology company in which they provide all kinds of offerings to global brands. And what we do in IT is we support the work of our colleagues around the globe, making sure that, you know, their PCs are working, that the networks are right, that security is, you know, where it needs to be. And so I communicate messages to our global audience of 130,000 employees to let them know all that they need to know to make sure that they can do their jobs. Wow. So kind of we're kind of enablers in trying to help them to make sure that they can do the work they need to do.
Wow, that's so fascinating. Terrific. And so tell us a little bit about your relationship with blood and blood donation.
Well, it all started, so this goes back to the Cleveland story, the Cleveland connection, in that my grandmother, who we all fondly referred to as Mimi. So Mimi was a petite little woman, but she was strong and mighty and very generous. And when I was little, I remember going into her room and in her jewelry box, and she had many, many gallon pins. And I used to just wonder about what are these gallons about? And I learned about her blood donation. And her husband died at an earlier age, and so she was a widow for the rest of her life. And she never had a driver's license, never learned to drive, so she would take, my mom told me recently, 2 bus trips to get to the place for her to donate blood. She also, and this was, you know, during the war effort, she also would volunteer to make bandages for the war effort. And so just kind of learning about that, and, you know, as I said, my grandmother was a petite little woman, you know, and a very prim and proper, but to know that she did that and made a concerted effort to want to get with her way of giving back, that I thought, I'm going to do that one day. And so being here in Cincinnati and Hawksworth, as soon as I was kind of old enough to be able to donate, I thought, I want to start earning my own gallon pins. Now I'm almost to 8. I'm working on my 8th gallon pin, so very proud of that, and hope that my Mimi is, you know, smiling down on me proudly.
I'm sure she's very proud.
So that's kind of where it started, just the idea of giving back and being a volunteer effort and contributing to your community.
So it's very interesting. So you talk about Cleveland a little bit, and so I actually spent time in Cleveland. I did my residency at the Cleveland Clinic, and so great organization, great system. Their blood collection is very different than Hawksworth here in Cincinnati. So in Cincinnati, we are the sole collector and distributor to the hospitals, every single hospital in the Cincinnati area. It's quite amazing, I think. So UCMC, UC Westchester, Christ, all the Mercies, you know, Jewish Hospital, TriHealth, every single one in Cincinnati, they're getting their blood from us. So we know that when you come and donate at Hawksworth, that blood is going to go to somebody in the community. And I think if you're somebody who's received blood in Cincinnati, you kind of can look around when you get out and look at the grocery store and just be like, oh my gosh, I wonder if that person donated for me or that person, but somebody did. And it's kind of a really neat situation. Cleveland does not have like a single blood provider like we have. There's a small blood collector that I didn't even know about when I was a resident. And then Red Cross has a presence there. There are other blood providers that are kind of nationally there that all provide blood. So the hospitals there actually get their blood from multiple different distributors. And that is good sometimes, but oftentimes I think it's difficult. So a hospital like Cleveland Clinic is not going to have trouble really getting their blood, because they're going to be able to, the blood providers are going to want to make sure that they're full up. But the smaller hospitals in the communities can sometimes, you know, not get as good a treatment as like the big guys in town. And when you get blood from multiple suppliers, when they run low, there really isn't that responsibility, I think, in partnership that we have very close ties to all the hospitals that we provide to, and they know that they can call me or they can call somebody at Hawksworth any minute and try to, you know, figure out what their problems or what their urgent needs are, and then we're going to really work to partner with them because we know that there's no other, you know, source for them. Mm-hmm. If you have multiple blood suppliers, oftentimes it's like, oh, why don't you call the other guy and have them help? And if both of the guys do that to you, you're kind of left in tough spots. Mm-hmm. For this last summer and the summer before, there have been tremendous blood shortages nationally. And unfortunately, I don't know so much in Cleveland, but in other parts of, in Ohio, some of the hospital groups have really suffered in terms of being able to get blood and have had to cancel surgeries and to many other things. So I guess I'm proud of the being part of Hawksworth and being able to provide the community that we provide to.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important point that people here should know about the fact that Hawksworth is the lone provider. And people think, okay, great, Hawksworth's taking care of it. But the demand has to match the supply.
Right.
And if there are reasons why the supply doesn't meet that, Hawksworth is still responsible,
right,
contractually obligated,
yeah,
to provide that. So then Hawksworth has to go buy the blood,
yep,
which costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I know when I tell that to people that, oh, really? You know, kind of the unknown factor of that, yeah, and why the volunteer donor is so critically important here. That's why I always try to, anyone I talk with about it, just try to encourage and suggest, give it a try. See how it works for you. If you're eligible, if you qualify, it's well worth it.
Oh, we really appreciate it. And I think we have our community advisory board in place. And how long have you been active with that?
2 years.
Okay, mm-hmm, great. Mm-hmm. I know we can do more. I know we can do more with the community advisory board. But can you tell us a little bit about why you were on that and kind of some of the effects that I think we have through that organization?
I think just originally, you know, donating is one thing, but I kind of wanted to go a little deeper and just see how I could give back in my community. And when I learned about the community advisory board and kind of sought it out as how could I be a part of that? And certainly through Catherine, that was very helpful for her to nominate me. And so since joining the board, I've been able to learn more about the operations. Yeah. And through that, I think I'm able to be an advocate and a champion for the work that you're trying to do and to help educate, at least in my circles of people that I know, to let them know about what it involves, the benefits of it. I see a lot of, you know, not only benefits for the community and for our fellow Cincinnati person, but also your own personal benefits, yep, that you can get out of it. And not only the cool swag and, you know, lovely shirts. I had one little story of my daughter were in Lebanon.
Okay.
Today, just kind of shopping around, and we were at the Enchanted Candle Apothecary.
Oh.
And a lovely little store, and I had a Hawksworth shirt on. Oh. And the lady behind the counter noted, oh, you're Hawksworth. Yeah, she said, oh, my husband and I donate all the time.
Oh.
And we make a date of it, and they go and they donate, and then they go to Tasty Bob Evans, she called it.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and so it's a regular thing that they do. So when you mentioned before about wondering if it's that person who might have given, yeah, blood to me or that, and, you know, I proudly wear my Hawksworth things, and other times I see people wearing their Hawksworth, and it's an immediate connection of, oh, you gave blood. Good for you. Great. Thank you so much. And so those types of interactions with people to reinforce the benefit and the value and the importance of it is really great to be able to do on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I was just talking to Jackie Marshall, who helps us with the podcast. She went to opening day, mm-hmm, the other day, and lots of different donors out there with their jerseys and their Hawksworth swag. Mm-hmm. It's always so cool. You go, mm-hmm, to the games, and you can kind of see that.
Yes.
A lot of folks wearing it with pride.
Mm-hmm.
So for our community advisory board, it's a kind of a collection of less than 30 people who are really influencers in our area. And it's our opportunity to kind of share a little bit more about kind of what Hawksworth does. Most of the donors, you know, if they're interested, you know, we can provide them with more information, but it's a way for us to kind of educate people who are interested and who can help us with our mission in terms of having more donors, more donor drives, get us into different organizations which maybe have not had drives before, to be really proponents and like mouthpieces and extensions of Hawksworth to be able to help us with our mission. And we have two things that we like to collect. We like to collect the red stuff from folks who can come out and donate. And we actually collect some green stuff because sometimes people are not able to give, you know, mm-hmm. for one reason or another, health issues or, you know, different types of travel restrictions or things like that. But they can also give green stuff in terms of financial giving. And that is through UC, you know, as we're part of UC Foundation, and then you can earmark that money for Hawksworth Blood Center. So we actually do have some folks who do that as well. So we really appreciate like all that you do for us and all the other community advisory board members. Have you been involved with specific drives that are kind of going on?
No, I have not been able to. I work remotely from home.
Oh,
so I'm unfortunately not in an office that I can, hey, let's recruit and do that kind of thing. When I was previously with Scripps, they would do things, and there used to be a neighborhood donor center right in downtown, which made it very convenient to go. But now all the seven donor centers around town and then all of the mobile drives, certainly there's something within close proximity, no matter where you are.
Great. Well, we really appreciate your work with the donor center or with a community advisory board to kind of help us to get our word out. So, okay, before we started, you had some ideas for things that we could kind of talk about. And so you had a list of 10 questions that you thought could be pretty cool. So we're not going to go through all of them, but I thought that they're kind of cool things that are related to giving blood. So you're recommending as number 10 after donating to take a break. And it's a perfect excuse for no strenuous activity, including working out.
Exactly. Yes.
So I know when I was donating platelets, it was kind of cool because I would sit there and I would pretty much turn off everything, right? So I still took calls just in case something was medically was kind of going on. But it really gives you a chance to get some me time in there and to kind of feel good about your donation. And I think that, you know, as people are donating blood, some people just want to kind of get in and out. And that's fine. I mean, that's great. We get your blood.
Thank you
very much. But other folks are there for, you know, to talk to people and to make connection. And I think that that is one of the services that we actually provide. It's not on flyers anywhere. Maybe we should put them on flyers. I don't know. But I think that there is, I think, positive benefits mentally or socially to donating blood. And, you know, I've really thought about this more and more recently, especially with kind of this, the pandemic and the social isolation that everybody kind of went through.
Absolutely. Yes.
And kind of what are the solutions to that as we kind of are still trying to get back to normal. And I think that loss of community bond was something that people felt. I don't know if you felt that too.
I mean, it was challenging for all of us. You know, I had kids in school, which was, you know, an added element with it, working from home and that new dynamic. And certainly the idea of not being able to, my daughters just mentioned the other day about, early on when there was so much fear going on.
Yeah.
They had both said kind of that I wouldn't let them go see their friends
because
it was just, you didn't know.
Yeah.
And so they kind of said, well, he kind of snuck off in the woods behind the house. So they found a way.
You have to find a way,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I think we're realizing all of the negative consequences of social isolation, which we all kind of had to do, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, ooh, there were some issues. You know, I think that, unfortunately for the younger generation, a lot of anxiety, I think, kind of emerged from that process.
Yeah.
So Vivek Murthy, who's the Surgeon General, has really been talking about this epidemic of loneliness. And as I've been thinking, you know, about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, here I am in blood donation. And maybe this is an avenue for people, number one, to do social service, right? Civic service, and to just do it because it's a good thing. But maybe people can really get back, you know, from that and to feel connected. And so I do think that there's a role for us to play.
And I think from just the experience of being in the chair and donating, whether it's the whole blood side or the platelet, you know, sitting there a little bit longer, you feel that sense of camaraderie.
Yeah.
And the staff there is so supportive and so encouraging and appreciative. So the whole experience from the time you enter the door till the time you're walking out with your snacks and your swag, it's just an overall really positive experience. And, you know, you go to your neighborhood donor center and you start giving on a regular basis. They they know you,
yep.
they welcome you. So absolutely, it's a wonderful way to build your own little mini community in which you're all doing good for the community.
And I'm hoping the donors are leaving the building and they're feeling like, oh my gosh, somebody said thank you to me like 20 times, mm-hmm. you know, absolutely. Like they really didn't have to do that. But
yes.
that was actually kind of cool to yes. be able to feel that, you know.
Yeah.
And then to walk around for the next, you know, eight weeks afterwards and just like looking at people and like, oh, maybe I helped this person. Maybe I helped. I don't know who I helped, but I helped
somebody.
And I think
it's wonderful in that it's the reinforcement that Hawksworth does a great job of the follow-up. It's the thank you for donating.
Oh,
it's
good.
The I love getting the letters that confirm thank you for giving. Your blood went to a patient
yes.
at, you know, Christ Hospital
yeah.
on this date. Yeah. And that really just kind of helps you to remember and to know why you did it, that you're individually helping a person
yep.
in whatever medical crisis that they're dealing with. So that's a great reinforcement. And then the idea of being able to wear the fun,
yes.
cool stuff that you give out. And then for those of us who are able to give on a regular basis and we build up and we earn those gallon pins, those are just really special to me. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I've had some donors who have given a ton and they're like, oh my gosh, please do not send me any more pins.
Oh.
I'll have them send it to you.
Only if I earn them.
Oh, you have to earn them.
Yes,
okay, that's
yes.
great. I know that you're mentioning that for platelet donors, right, many of them go to Children's Hospital.
Yes.
I'm not sure if 65% is still the number, but mm-hmm. it is, I think, the number one hospital mm-hmm. in terms of receiving platelets. And have you donated platelets?
I'm not eligible
okay.
to.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about that a little
yeah.
bit. So are you're not eligible to donate platelets or plasma, is that right?
Platelets.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so not all of our donors are able to donate, and especially there are many, especially women, who unfortunately have an antibody to, mm-hmm. I don't want to get too technical and stuff, but who are not great donors of plasma or platelet for transfusion purposes. They can still give red cells, so mm-hmm. and give whole blood.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the gift that we're asking. And so when you come through the door, you may be asked by the people who are registering you to give something other than what you kind of intended to give. I don't want to call it a bait and switch, but sometimes we try to talk people into donating. So especially if you're an O donor and you come in and you maybe come in just once a year, we may ask you, hey, could you spend just a couple more minutes and donate a double red because you qualify? And then we can get twice as many red cell units from you in about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know the blood type is type O, we know we're most interested in the red cells and that's a way that they can give. So they can't come back in 8 weeks, they can come back in 16 weeks, mm-hmm. but most of our donors don't come back that frequently. So if you come in once or twice a year, we can actually get twice as many red cells from those folks. If we know that you're type AB or A, we may ask you to give platelets. And so that's a bigger donation in terms of longer amount of time.
Right.
And then you're actually sitting with a needle in your arm for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But for those blood types, the platelets are often the thing they're in most need. And so we will ask. And it's okay to say no. And I know that it's hard if you're like, oh my gosh, I only have an hour. You know, I got to get back to work or whatever. But for those folks who are interested, you know, our folks are always trying to steer you to the blood products that are kind of most in need for your blood type.
Absolutely. So. And I think, you know, in the point about Cincinnati Children's Hospital,
yeah.
I think the kind of the pool that you collect the platelets is a very minimal percentage as far as the population in Cincinnati.
Right.
And the idea that small portion is able to contribute a vast percentage
yeah.
of the blood that goes to help kids
yeah.
who are struggling with whatever disease, whatever medical challenge that they have at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and that we as adults can help our most needed population of kids in our community through platelet donation. I see that as a win-win of yeah. let's help kids.
I love that we support and provide blood products to Cincinnati Children's. They're such a great organization, and they're just so nationally recognized. So many of our hospitals here, we have such great healthcare here in Cincinnati. It's almost embarrassing, right? But Cincinnati Children's is really special. Working with their blood experts, physicians has been a real highlight, I think, of my time here in Cincinnati. So Dr. Stephanie Kinney, who we've had on the podcast before, she actually now is in charge of the whole laboratory. She's just so great. And then in charge of their transfusion services, Dr. Christina Pruce. And she was a fellow of ours like 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm really proud of her. She kind of finished our fellowship. She was already a pediatric hematology oncologist, just amazing. And then worked out west for a few years and then came back to Cincinnati. And so she's tearing it up in the laboratory there. And so it's such a great thing to work with them, meet with them every week. And then they tell us about patients who need specific blood products. Oftentimes we have to really search. We go through our donor lists looking for certain characteristics in terms of blood products that'll be compatible for specific patients. Not all patients need specialized products, but there are some who develop antibodies and just need that special care. And then if you get a call, so if you're a donor and you get a call from Karen Williams, or then that means that you are somebody who we really need to kind of step up.
Time to put the cape on, right? Yeah.
And then so she has the best job because she is like, it's amazing. I call any of these people and they will come in. They will make the time. They'll take time off of work and they'll come in because they know that oftentimes it's a small child or, you know, who actually needs that donation. And it's great for our employees as well as for, you know, all the donors who come in as well. So I always ask our guests a question in terms of if they were to talk to someone who is considering donating for the first time and they've never donated before and they're just not sure if they should take the time and come on in, what would you say to somebody who's kind of considering donating for the first time?
I mean, I think of all the benefits we've talked a little bit about, not only the benefits for our local hospitals who are treating the patients who need the blood, but also for your own personal benefit. The things that you can get out of it is not only the fun swag you can get and the snacks and juice when you're done, a wonderful, welcoming, appreciative experience that you get at our neighborhood donor centers or at the mobile drives as well.
Right.
Also, I mean, each time I go, it's kind of a little mini health checkup. You know, you get your blood pressure. You get your heart rate, you get your iron level, you know, those kinds of things to make sure that, okay, you're doing fine, you're on track. So I think of it, all of those things that are the win-win-win, you know, so many good things that can come from it. And then not only just for your own personal benefit, but the feeling good, you know, that warm glow of feeling like I'm having a positive impact, I'm giving back to my community, I'm helping us to be able to provide life-saving measures for our community. Because they talk about, you know, for me, a whole blood can save up to 3 lives.
Yeah.
So just the idea of all that goodness that you can get from whole blood, 1 hour of your time, once every 8 weeks. If it's platelets, a little bit more of a commitment, you can do it more frequently. But just all of that, of just the goodness that you are doing and for yourself and for others.
That's a great answer. I want to go donate blood right now. I'm actually due, so.
Me too. I'm due here in April, so I'm looking forward to the red sweatshirt.
The red sweatshirt, the pullover, that looks fantastic.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of excitement right now in terms of the Reds and the season that they're going to have. And it's so great that we have a partnership with them, and we have they have been supporting us for all these years. Great organization. And I love that we are able to work with other organizations in the community and really have an impact here as a local resource and locally recognized.
I think also just talking about a prior podcast that you had and talking with the TriHealth people.
Yeah.
And just talking about what a partnership that you have with the different hospital groups that, you know, obviously it's still a business.
Yep.
Hospitals can be competitive. They want to have the patients to do the great work. But the fact that you have such a wonderful relationship with all of these different hospitals and working hand in hand with them to provide the resources that they need to best serve their patients, and the fact that it is very patient focused is such a just kind of another point about the value and the benefit that Hawksworth serves here.
Yeah, that brings up a great point. So we are owned by the university and we're part of the university. We're actually an academic unit within it. We are not like owned and controlled by UC Health, which is, I think a lot of people are confused by that. We service the entire community and all the different hospitals that are here. We service UC Health. I actually have a position over there, so I'm transfusion medicine director for the hospital, part of the partnership that we have in agreement with them. to provide the expertise related to transfusion medicine, but we are not owned by them. And so we're able to provide blood to the entire community. I was at Stanford before this, and initially when I joined them, initially they were owned by the university as well. That ownership kind of changed during the time that I was there. So it's more controlled by the hospital. And Stanford Blood Center is a great blood center, but really their major people that they covered were Stanford Hospital and Lucile Packard within that ecostructure. And then the other hospitals in the area, some of them got blood from us, but they got blood from other providers. A different situation than we have here, where we're kind of providing for everybody, and everybody looks to us as a resource. One of the great things that I love about the job here is that I'm able to help all the different hospitals and to provide them with support. It's not just the blood products that they're getting, it's the support for them and any questions they have and any adverse reactions. You know, they know that they can call us, and education is one of our pillars that we have, and we want to educate the community. We're going to have a great workshop coming up on the Saturday of Laboratory Week, and I'm going to get the date wrong, but it's in mid-April, and we're inviting all of the different blood bank specialists in the area and who work as techs in the different hospitals to come. We're going to have it as a Sherlock Holmes themed, I'll call it a party, but it's a workshop, and they're going to work up difficult cases that they have actually sent to us to work up as their tertiary blood center, immunohematology reference laboratory, and kind of show them, hey, this is how we did this, and this is how we got these results for you. And so we're anticipating that it'll be very popular. It's popular every year, but I'm excited about the Sherlock Holmes theme this year.
That sounds very interesting.
You can come to that too, but it might be a little dry.
Might go over my head a little bit.
Well, so what's next for you going forward?
Continuing to promote and serve Hawksworth in any way that I can. The work that I do with my job is very rewarding. Yeah. I have hobbies. My kids, my daughter's about to graduate from Butler University in Indiana. My daughter here is attending here UC. She's a sophomore, so I have another Bearcat here.
So I've got a sophomore as well.
Oh, okay. That's great. So, you know, busy mom life, work life, yes.
Fabulous.
Trying to fit all of that in.
Yes, and the Cincinnati area is such a great place to raise the kids. And
I think the only other thing that I was going to offer when it comes to, you know, donors who might be, you know, wondering whether they should or shouldn't, you know, oftentimes if we see some major event, whether it's a natural disaster or unfortunate situation in which people think, how can I help? And they're ready to, you see the lines out the door at blood centers of people wanting to give. And it's great when people do that. If you're willing to roll up your sleeve in an emergency situation, why not roll up your sleeve when there's not the emergency?
Yeah.
On your own schedule, on your own time. And if you're willing to be that person to step up to help, then help now. But do sooner rather than later. Don't wait for the emergency to happen, because you never know when a loved one is going to need that blood, that to help them in whatever medical crisis that they might be having. So the idea of doing it now, make an appointment and do what you can to give.
I love that messaging. Yeah. One of the first media events I actually did here, unfortunately, was the shooting at Fountain Square. And it was shocking, right, for our community. Fortunately, there are very few people, you know, who were injured with that and who needed a lot of blood. But the messaging I gave then is still true today. Donate today so the blood is there for you tomorrow. If you come and line up after shooting, it's not too late, right? I mean, people will use that blood later, sure, but it's too late for that second. It takes a day or two at least in order for all that blood to be processed and labeled. And there's a whole thing that happens after you donate blood that we should actually get into in one of the future podcasts. But there's a whole thing that happens before we can get that blood out to the hospitals. But if you had donated the day before that shooting or 2 days before, you can know that, oh my gosh, part of what I gave was ready for those victims.
Yes.
And so it's a great messaging. Oh gosh, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you today. Any other last thoughts that you have? I think that was a great one. So I don't know why I'm asking for another one, because so I don't know. Maybe we can edit this whole part out here, but let's. So yeah, we'll have to do some editing there. So Well, Valerie, I really want to thank you for coming in and spending some time with us today. Really appreciate you as a blood donor and as a community advisory board member.
Oh, my pleasure. Really, it's a joy for me to be able to be involved in this way. And I hope to continue once my community advisory board role is over. Then I certainly would love to continue to be a resource for Hawksworth and volunteering and whatever I can do to keep that that mission going and to keep advocating for the importance of volunteer donors.
Yeah, I think that we're not going to wait till you leave the board. We're going to, I think we, one of the things I would really like for us to do is to really leverage the community advisory board much more heavily than we have. And I think that there's a lot of opportunities for us to form those relationships with the relationships that all you guys have for us to be able to do even greater things than we've been doing.
I know we're all ready and willing.
Yes, yes. So I want to thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
This has been In the Know with Dr. O.